me, the college applications landscape is a tricky one to navigate, and current changes to the testing process have made entry to some even more competitive. Here to help us discuss it all is Jamie Beaton, Crimson Education co-founder and CEO. He aced the process and wrote Accepted: Secrets to Gaining Admissions to the World's Top Universities. Jamie, thank you so much for being with us today. I am so glad that two out of my three kids are done with the college process. I tell them that college is overrated because I have to pay all of the fees to go along with it. But you disagree. You say that entry at a top university is really a golden ticket because it sends a signal to future employers. What's the message that they get?
So in the last decade, I've seen thousands of students going to these top universities now, many going to the Ivy League, to Duke, to MIT, to Caltech. And I've seen these graduates land jobs at firms like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, McKinsey, Bain, Google, etc. Some go on to raise millions in venture capital funding in Silicon Valley. In my own experience coming from New Zealand, I had no connections to America. I went to Harvard, but that opportunity unlocked jobs at places like Tiger on Wall Street. So I do think that these ultra-selective colleges do open up doors that you never normally could access, particularly from backgrounds that don't have these types of connections and are very valuable. And that's what signaling is about in the book, which is one of the most important chapters.
And many students and families are walking away from colleges because of the astronomical fees and debt incurred by some of the student loan debts that you know, go along with the price of admission and paying for school. So is a return on investment at some of these top tier universities, isn't always worth it?
So there are many universities in America that are not worth the investment. However, we focus on the really top 50 US colleges, and lots of us students are aiming for really the top 20 to top 30. These are schools that have very strong return on investment, particularly if you're thinking about careers in finance, management consulting, technology, engineering, law, medicine, these types of professions that really value degrees. If you go to these top institutions, the ROI is very strong. And I have many graduates who leave these degrees in their 20s, earning in excess of $100,000 as a base salary. Now, also, these top universities like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they've got the strongest financial aid packages. So if you're able to actually get in, they subsidize your tuition based on family's income and assets. Often these top schools make it even more affordable. And that, I guess, also helps with the return on investment along the cost basis.
And Jamie, we promise viewers tips, and you have lots of them. You say there are many ways to stand out as an applicant, but you say playing the piano or violin aren't necessarily the way to do it. What does stand out?
So there are a number of heavy-hitting summer programs that are considered to be really selective. And if you get into them, they really boost your odds of getting into these top colleges. So one example is the MIT RSI program. This program has about 33% of its graduates ending up getting to Harvard, about two-thirds getting into the Ivy League following the program. It's a research program fully funded where you do research for about 6-7 weeks over the summer. That's one really popular program. Another great example is Promise, which is a math program. And if you get into that, it's a very strong signal to colleges like Caltech and MIT. They've got fantastic mathematical ability. On the other end of the equation, there are many pay-to-play summer programs that don't really add value in your application. Things like Oxbridge summer courses, which don't have any affiliation to the university, but just take place in rented buildings over in the UK. Programs like that really don't help you much in your candidacy. So that's one good example, summer program selection. Another quick one that a lot of families ask is around test optional admissions. During the COVID era, there's been this reduction in the requirement to sit the SAT. But our data shows that it is still critical to sit the SAT, particularly if you're in a high school where there are other peers applying with that score, because the schools still are figuring out how to really admit students without those standardized tests. And you will be at a disadvantage if you do not submit the SAT.
And then changing gears a little bit, you know, elite colleges have come under quite a lot of pressure recently to end their decades-old tradition of legacy admissions because, you know, criticism is that it's rooted in racism. It's unfair to those who are economically disadvantaged. And then also the U.S. Supreme Court taking up a challenge looking at how universities consider race in their applications. Can you weigh on that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so in the book, I actually talk about legacy extensively in one of the chapters. And you know, my view on this is legacy is really a outdated admissions policy that has to go. There are some rational reasons for including it. You know, it ostensibly will boost the sense of collegiality, the alumni network, potentially donations. But I think at this point, there is enough demand for these colleges. There's enough loyalty to these colleges post-admission, even for the first generation of kids getting in. You don't need to have these legacy policies. Schools like Johns Hopkins have now begun to abandon legacy admissions policies. And I think that trend will continue as there's, you know, rising dislike of anything that really appears to further income inequality in America.
All right, we'll leave it there. Financial aid, also a big issue. Jamie Beaton, Crimson Education co-founder and CEO, thanks for stopping by and for your tips today.